finish this series that we've been in, Take My Yoke. If you're taking notes today, you can write that down, Take My Yoke. Thank you, Jacob. You can stay with me till we pray because it just sounds more spiritual. I really believe that the Holy Spirit has given me a specific assignment today from the scripture that we're going to read. And if you'd like a second title, I always typically have a second title for you, a subtitle. You can write this down. This is what I believe the assignment of God is today. Shame off you. If you're taking notes, I want to encourage you to write that down today. Shame off you. We're going to look at Matthew 11 again. This is a scripture that we've been reading from in this series. And church, if there was a scripture that defined the invitation of the gospel, I would suggest that it's harder to find one more effective than the one that we are about to read. But before we get to this glorious invitation from King Jesus, leading up to this invitation, Jesus has said some things. He has spoken words that were bold for Jesus to say. They were even hard for some of the people that were listening to receive these words. And before we can get to the goodness of the invitation that we're about to read, Jesus reminds us of the reality of life. Jesus reminds us of the reality of unrepentance, that there are those who refuse to turn to God. Jesus reminds us that the fruit of rejecting God is eternity without Him. Jesus reminds us, it's one of the purposes of Matthew, that He is King. Jesus is God. No one comes to the Father except through Him. Jesus is the way, the truth, the life. Jesus is not an option. He is the only option. I was at a friend's Christmas work party a couple of years ago when somebody found out I was a pastor. They were so excited to talk to me. And these conversations can go many different ways. And I remember she was saying, it's so awesome that you're a Christian and you teach the Bible, right? I said, yes. She said, well, what do you do nowadays because there's so many different ways to heaven? Surely you don't preach Jesus is the only way. She was serious. I remember thinking, man, we're not reading the same Bible. The gospel is either the gospel or it isn't. Jesus was either a lunatic or He is God. Jesus is the answer to life or life is meaningless. And with the reality of what is at stake, Jesus then gives you and I this invitation. Matthew 11, verse 28, Jesus says this, "Come to me, all who are weary and burdened." You ever been weary before? Never been burdened before? He says, come to me, all who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Verse 29, I don't think we're going to get here today, but we're going to read it. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Make no mistake that the response to the goodness and grace of God is not to abuse His grace. It is a call to discipleship, to learn from Him. He says, learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart. Therefore, as I follow Jesus, the fruit of my life, I should be becoming more gentle and more humble in my heart. And then we see the fruit of discipleship. The cost of discipleship, he says, and you will find rest for your souls. I wonder, how is your soul today? Verse 30, he reminds us, for my yoke. Make no mistake, friends, we are all yoked to something. Jesus says, my yoke is comfortable. It's designed for you. And my burden is light. Why don't we pray? Holy Spirit of God, we thank you for who you are. We thank you today for this great invitation that you offer to every person in this room. And King Jesus, we come before you in humility. We acknowledge we need you. We need you. We hunger for your presence. I thank you today at the end of the service, we're just going to have time in your presence, and I thank you that your presence meets us here, that we can encounter you. As I prayed earlier today, Holy Spirit, give me your grace. I need your anointing, your authority, your power. I cannot do this without you. And everybody said, amen. Come on, everybody said, amen. Amen. Everybody give Jacob a hand. I love our worship team. Church, I don't know if you know this, but I cannot sing. And when God created the Kelly family, the three Kelly kids, God decided to give my older sister a singing voice. She can sing. And then when God looked at the three kids, he looked at Sam and said, I'm going to give him a voice so he can sing. And then when God created me, he was like, nah. While I can't sing, what I do know when it comes to singing is that tone matters. I don't have tone, but I can hear when tone is off. Tone isn't just exclusive to singing. Tone matters, all the married folks will know this, when you communicate. For example, when I speak to my wife, tone matters. The same words can carry different meaning because of tone. If I were to say, for example, babe, come here, I should get a positive response. But if I were to say those same words, babe, come here, that's the first time I've ever said it like that. I'm a little uncomfortable. If you can see the look that I'm getting, it's an illustration, babe. I'm trying to teach our kids to train their tone when they apologize to their siblings. Hey, Liv, say sorry to Locke. I'm sorry. Okay, let's try that again with a different tone. Why don't we try, hey, I'm sorry. When I speak to my kids, tone is a tool. And they're learning that dad's tone carries different meanings. I could say, hey, Locke, come here, buddy. Or Locke could be doing something he's not supposed to be doing, and he knows when I said, Locke, come here. Or we could be at the zoo, and we're at the bear exhibit. The bear exhibit where, I don't know if you've been to Norfolk Zoo, I've never really seen the bear. But if the bear were to suddenly exist and be in the exhibit, I'd say, God, come here. Come, they would know the tone was excitement. Tone matters. And if we aren't careful, we can read this invitation of Jesus and we can miss the significance of what he's saying because we missed his tone. We must understand the manner in which Jesus is saying, come to me. The tone that Jesus is using is a tone of urgency. Come to me. This is no casual invitation. This is an invitation of urgent passion. Come to me. Son, daughter, come here. You don't have to keep carrying that weariness. You don't have to keep carrying that burden. Don't wait any longer. Come here. I've got rest for you. We could pivot for just a moment. I think this scripture, it reminds us with a practical point of our Christian walk. Because so often we treat seeking God in responding to this invitation as a casual obligation. And we wonder why our faith is stale. Yet Jesus reminds us this is no obligation. This is no casual lifestyle. This is life and death. This is responding to an invitation from an almighty God who knows everything about me. who has new mercy for me every morning. This is a response to an invitation of Almighty God who waits for me to wake up in the morning. He's the only one who knows to care for my soul. He's the only one who can renew strength into my soul. He's the only one who can give me real rest. This invitation, church, is everything. And yet so often we treat this invitation from Jesus like an invite to a party over email. You ever got one of those? And nowadays it gives you three options if you'll attend that party. Yes, no, and maybe. Like, we'll see. May it remind us as believers that this is no maybe gospel. We urgently seek Christ every day. It is the first thing that we do. It is the most important thing that we do, responding to this invitation. Everything else flows from this place of seeking God. The Bible does not say God rewards those who casually seek Him. The Bible says God rewards those who diligently seek Him. What does He reward you with? Rest. May it remind us today there's an enemy urgently seeking you, seeking out to destroy you, to distract you. Church, we wonder why we can't find real rest. Because we are urgent to everything else in life but Christ. I wonder, have we really responded to this invitation? I wonder, how urgent do we go to God's word in the morning? How urgent do we respond to this invitation when we wake up? How urgent are we for our mind and our thoughts to go to Christ? Church, God isn't just seeking you. He's already found you. And He invites you to a daily life of rest. Every day, Jesus calls with this urgent invitation, come to me. Before you go to work, come to me. Before you have breakfast with your family, come to me. Before you talk to your spouse, come to me. Before you lead your business, come to me. Before you make that decision about your life, come to me. Jesus invites you and I today, come to me. So when we read Matthew 11, when Jesus says, come to me, it is not a casual invitation. It is one of passion, directness, urgency. Come to me. And the recipient of this invitation is important that we see today. Who is Jesus speaking to in this moment? Jesus did not say, come to me, Republicans who are weary. We laugh, but some of us think that. Jesus did not say, come to me, Democrats who are burdened. Jesus did not even say, come to me, Americans who are weary. Jesus said, come to me, all. May I remind us today, the gospel power is not limited to your political party, your cultural preference. Jesus' call is to all. Can I get an amen? And then Jesus gets specific with the personal state of the all. Come to me all who what? Jesus does not say, come to me all who are perfect. Come to me all who have it together. Come to me all who haven't been divorced. Come to me all who aren't addicted. Come to me all who don't struggle. Come to me all who don't need me. The invitation that Jesus says is come to me all who are weary and burdened. Who are the weary and burdened that Jesus is speaking to? Jesus was speaking to a Jewish audience who had yet to encounter His grace. Why were they weary and burdened? from believing that they weren't good enough. What do I mean? They were carrying a heavy burden of the extra laws of religious leaders that were lording it over their heads. These religious leaders demanding an unattainable perfection. So the lives that they were living were lives of constant striving, trying to be good enough, stuck in the cycle of performance that they can never measure up. And so it is cycling of trying and failing and trying and failing and trying and failing some more. Have you ever felt like you weren't good enough? I have. One moment in particular I think of was when I was in a math class. At ODU. And I was taking college algebra for the second time. And I remember feeling so defeated in this class. I'm like, man, I'm not good enough for this. I actually understand, I'm not good enough to pass this class, which I've said this before. By the way, I understand letters that go with letters, words, and numbers that go with numbers, but whoever decided to put numbers with letters, that's witchcraft. I kid you not, I walked out of the classroom that day. I was so frustrated. Why can't I do this? Unbeknownst to me, my sister was outside of that room, who was a math major, who had a full academic scholarship. She told me that her friends, they're waiting for her class, her next math class, the name that I can't even pronounce. And while we were in our college algebra class, they were making fun of how easy our class was. I remember thinking, let's go play dodgeball and see what happens. It's one thing to not feel good enough in a class. It's another thing to start believing it in your soul. Not feeling good enough, friends, it's tiring. It's heavy. It burdens your soul. And how often I hear weary souls in church say something like this, I'm just trying to be good. Friends, that is not the gospel. This is a false gospel that has infiltrated culture today. I call it performance Christianity. It's been around since the early church. If I look the part, I might be good enough. If I try hard enough, I might be good enough. If I don't curse this week, I might be good enough. If I attend church enough, I might be good enough. Yet trying to perform a good life, hoping that you're good enough, only leads to a restless soul. This is a problem in the American church. If I were to ask you today, do you believe the gospel? If I were to ask you, do you believe Jesus is King? That he died and rose from the grave, defeated sin. Do you believe? If I were to ask you, do you believe for certain that you are saved, that you're going to heaven? How often I've seen a response of Christians to this question of a scale of 1 to 10, do you believe you're going to heaven? How often that response is less than 10. Carried with that number is this type of response. Well, I try to be good. I think I'm a good person. Friends, this is not the gospel. It is a man-made religion. And the striving to just look the part, it is exhausting. We work so hard to look good. We toil for the appearance of our lives and our families on social media to be perfect, only to produce a restless soul. And it is this setting, this is the audience that Jesus is speaking to. People who are weary from trying to measure up. A people with a heavy burden of laws thrown and oppressed by religious leaders. These religious leaders whose church clothes were clean and pressed while their hearts were rotten. What am I saying today, church? Performance Christianity is exhausting. And Jesus invites you to something else. An invitation into his performance, into his work. Church, may I remind us today that we are not good enough. Jesus is the only one who is good. And when we come to him, he doesn't just make us good. He clothes us with his righteousness. When we come to him, he doesn't just make us good. He forgives us of our sin. When we come to him, he doesn't just make us good. He washes us clean. When we come to him, he doesn't just make us good. He makes me new. Gives me a new heart. A soul that knows rest. The call today is to stop trying to be good enough. There was only one who was good enough. And he invites you to receive his goodness, not earn it. Jesus offers the real way to be human. Come to me. And it is an urgent call. And I believe the Holy Spirit urgently says to every heart today, come to me. Why? Because he cares for you. Because he loves you. Because he has rest for your weary soul. What does real rest mean? First, I'll tell you what real rest is not. I think we've all experienced it. It's a restlessness. A restlessness in your soul. It's as if your soul is out of breath. I played soccer a couple of weeks ago for the first time in like 15 years. And I sprinted for the first time in 15 years. And my body was like, Josh, what are you doing? And it did not take long before I ran some more and I was gasping for air. So I looked over to the sideline. I was like, guys, I need a sub. I need a breather. I need to catch my breath. What does rest look like that Jesus invites us to? It is a breather for your soul. The rest that Jesus invites you and I into gives your weary soul a breather. A rest for your soul is a soul that is forgiven. A rest for your soul is a soul that is washed clean. And your soul can breathe again. I wonder, is your soul free today? Or is it restless? Is your soul out of breath, gasping for air? Trying to measure up. Jesus says to you, come to me. I've got rest for you. I will free your soul from the inside out. And it is here where many of us miss the power of the gospel. Why? As Jesus invites us to him, and the band can come on back. Sorry, Jacob, you didn't get that much of a break. Because as Jesus extends his invitation, come to me, we so often in church approach him like a first date. What do I mean? Well, on a first date, you're going to present your best, and you're going to try and hide your worst. How often we think that we have responded to this invitation, but really we are hiding. We show up to church, and we're here, but we're hiding. Friends, humanity has been hiding since the beginning. Adam and Eve, what did they do after they messed up? The Bible says that they hid. So what is it that causes us to hide? And this is what I believe my assignment is today. What causes us to hide is shame. Shame. A soul with shame has no rest. Because instead of hiding in the refuge of Christ, we are hiding in shame. You ever been ashamed? Shame is deeper than guilt, because the longer it sits, the more it tries to become a part of who you are. And guilt, it feels bad for an action, but shame goes into your soul. It carries with it a sense of unworthiness. And I want to suggest something to you and I that is so important we understand about this Jesus who offers this invitation today. He knows you. He knows what you've gone through. He knows what you're going through. He knows everything. Jesus is not ignorant to your past. He knows your shame. Jesus knows your shame. How does he know it, church? Because he took it on the cross. He says to me, he says to you, he says to us as a church family today, come to me all who are carrying shame. I will give you rest again. Free your soul of shame. Church, I don't know what your shame is. What I do know is that we've all experienced it. Some of us are carrying it right now and we're hiding it from God. And your soul is restless. And Jesus says, hey, son, daughter, come to me. That shame that you're hiding, I took it on the cross. Would you give it to me? And in return, I give you rest. Jesus knows shame. Not only does he know shame, he knows your specific shame. And he invites you today, come to me. With urgency, stop carrying that shame. Experience my forgiveness again. My grace that washes you clean. Church, we're going to spend time in the presence of God today, specifically at this altar. The tangible presence of God is going to meet anybody and everybody, all who are weary and burdened, down at this altar. The mighty counselor, the Holy Spirit of God, hear me, church, the mighty counselor is going to counsel some souls today. Jesus says, come to me. Stop hiding. That shame is mine. Give it to me. And I believe there are people in church today, friend, I've been here more than once, and you've been hiding in your shame. Some of us here today, you've even become skilled at hiding, avoiding, bringing that shame to God. May it remind us, hiding is not the life of a believer. Freedom is. He who the Son sets free is free indeed. Your soul can be free. And the invitation of the Holy Spirit today, Jesus says today, come to me. Stop hiding in shame. Come to me. All who are weary and burdened in shame. And this is what the enemy will do. Even as I talk right now, there's some of us and we're convincing ourselves why we won't come down here. The enemy will begin to lie and say, no, you need to keep that covered up. Whatever that thing is. You need to keep hiding, because he does not want you to bring your shame to the only one who paid for it. Friend, Jesus, he stands here today your Savior. He says, hey, come to me.